That is some group of people, thousands. So nice. Thank you very much. That's really nice. Thank you. It's great to be at Trump Tower. It's great to be in a wonderful city, New York. And it's an honor to have everybody here. This is beyond anybody's expectations. There's been no crowd like this.
In every election for 25 years, Donald Trump has promised to run for president and then balked. In 2012, for example, he explained he just couldn't leave his reality TV show, The Apprentice. He said, "I have 2 hours of prime time every Sunday night, and I'm going to say, to hell with it. No matter how rich you are, it pays a fortune, like big money." But finally, this week, Trump stood in front of a crowd of vocal supporters and bemused journalists and officially launched his candidacy with a provocative and mostly ad-lib speech. If delivered by any other candidate, much of what he had to say would be considered career-ending gaffes.
Last quarter, it was just announced, our gross domestic product, a sign of strength, right? But not for us. It was below zero. Who ever heard of this? It's never below zero.
Or
when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Watching him swerve into these spontaneous asides was like watching a drunk trucker careen down a mountain with no brakes and a load of nitroglycerin. Complete disaster seemed only seconds away. But Trump, he's a rhetorical stuntman, gets away with saying things no one else would dare. For a long time, pundits have dismissed him as a sideshow, which is easy to do. According to the traditional rules of American politics, his infamous hair alone should disqualify him as a serious candidate. And his lengthy talk show campaign to expose the alleged conspiracy covering up Obama's Kenyan birth should relegate him to a special roped-off area on the sidelines. But here's a risky prediction. Trump is actually going to do pretty well. His platform is the purest populism, unfettered by political realities, budgetary constraints, or even gravity. He promises to renegotiate all of America's foreign trade deals. He will rebuild America's infrastructure while also reducing its debt. He will deploy more nuclear weapons, take care of vets, and deliver a pony to every child who asks. Anyone who is paying attention knows Trump is promising to fix problems that don't exist and offering solutions that won't work. But for the voters who aren't paying attention, which is to say most of them, when Trump says things like this,
"I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall." Yeah. Mark my words. Yeah.
They nod, and they say, "I've been saying the same thing for years." Trump is transmitting at a different frequency than any of his Republican rivals. He doesn't sound like a congressman. He sounds like your favorite uncle after six beers.
"Hey, I'm not saying they're stupid. I like China. I sell apartment for I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China."
He has the patter of a knife salesman at a county fair, slicing and dicing through the background noise.
"When was the last time you saw a Chevrolet in Tokyo?"
This is Trump's gift. He's essentially a showman. The media are going to cover Trump obsessively, expecting him to crash in an explosion of invective and hubris. And he might. But in the meantime, his outrageous soundbites will fill the newspapers and magazines and TV shows that normally ignore politics. If Trump forgoes donors, as he promises, and funds his race with his claimed $8 billion in personal wealth, his campaign machine could quickly grow into the largest in the race, if not ever. It will essentially become the most heavily publicized and well-funded reality TV show in American history. Maybe Trump understands politics better than we think. From McLean's magazine.
"I will be..."
This is Scott Gilmore.
"The greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that." "I'll bring back our jobs from China, from Mexico, from Japan, from so many places. I'll bring back our jobs and I'll bring back our money. Right now, think of this. We owe China $1.3 trillion.